tomorrow is World Food Day around the globe. Now, in South Sudan, thousands of people are waking up feeling food insecure and uncertain of how they will feed their families. Now, the big question is, what is the best approach to tackling hunger in South Sudan? How do we end hunger, even in hard-to-reach places? Well, I'm glad to tell you that this morning here, I have my guest is Misak Malo. Misak Malo is the Food and Agricultural Organization country director or country representative. Good morning, Misak, and good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Good morning so much, and it's my privilege to be here at Mirai Radio.
Good to have you. Let's talk about the World Food Day, which is tomorrow. First of all, just briefly, what about this day?
Now, this is an important day in which the world community came together to dedicate a special day to fight hunger and malnutrition in the world. It is a day that the world thought that it is important to look back and see what are the gains we have made towards zero hunger. And it also marks the day when the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization was created. That means that it's actually the birthday of the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization, commonly known as FAO.
And in South Sudan particularly, why is it very important to celebrate this day or to commemorate this day?
I think in South Sudan, it's important because, as you mentioned in the beginning, it makes us to again highlight where are we as South Sudanese in the fight against hunger. And currently, as you well said, we still have about 54% of our population who are in situations which are food insecure. That's about 6.35 million South Sudanese.
Yes, and what projects is Food and Agricultural Organization directly supporting in order to actually succeed in this fight?
FAO is working with a number of partners, including government, community members, to ensure and to support the production of food. You may notice that despite the situations that have worked against South Sudan producing its own food, South Sudan is a country in which there is a lot of resources for food production. When you look at water, God has blessed South Sudan with a lot of water. When you look at the soils, South Sudan has one of the greatest soils in the world. So when you look at the map of the world and the soils of the world in which it shows the problematic soils of the world, you will see very, very few patches in that. That means that South Sudan is a country in which we can produce our own food sufficient and can exit from the food aid situation.
And then that brings the question, why are we hungry? With all these, you know, we have a lot of water, we have one of the best soil, why are we hungry?
I think one of the most important seeds for any production is peace. And we are happy as we are heading towards November that this important seed of peace is going to be planted. We are absolutely sure as the United Nations Food and Agriculture Organization that when this seed is planted, then the future is just so bright for South Sudan. So I believe that, and we know very well, that looking at these numbers, if we were all to go back to the farm, then we will actually begin to export. Two factors are very interesting in South Sudan. One, in the whole of Africa, when you look at the number of people per livestock, South Sudan has got the highest number. Just an example on livestock alone, with a population of about 12.67 million people, the number of livestock in this country is 13.2 of cows, not livestock. We've not calculated the rest.
The goats and the rest.
Yeah. And we always say that in Africa, although it's treated as a joke, and I've always said this, is that when you look at fishery production, it is said that there could be only two places here in Africa where fish can die out of old age. And one of the places is South Sudan.
Wow.
Yeah. And South Sudanese, they've got various way of catching fish. So you can see the potential that this country has, and that's why the food an agriculture organization, has always been excited to work here because we believe that it's a country that can very fast be able to exit from food aid immediately. And we are happy we are seeing the first seed, which is the seed of peace, is planted.
Mm-hmm. Well, this really keeps me wondering, of course. You said we are like South Sudan is one of the countries that fish dies of old age. You didn't mention our soil is one of the best. We have enough water. But people die of hunger. Like, there are some places that have been reported that people actually die of hunger and starve to death. Starvation and famine was declared at one point in the country. What do we need to do? What policies need to be put in place to ensure that South Sudan become really food secure?
You see, agriculture is it's a very simple formula activity. And that's why it's an activity that everybody does. And especially, I think on this International Women's Day, we need to give a lot of accolade to women out there who are contributing a lot. You need seeds. You add some input. That is water, fertilizer, and you get your production. And you've got your knowledge. South Sudanese, in terms of the knowledge, they've got it. So the policies that need to be put in place currently where we are is that, one, we need to ensure particularly the availability of seeds. Because as you know, with the political process that we've gone through, some of the seeds have been lost. Secondly, we need to go back because there's been a generation to ensure that we plant at the right time. With climate change and all this, there's been changes in which this knowledge, because people have been displaced, has not been able to be translated properly to the young generation. When should they be planting? What should they be looking at to know that it's time to plant? There were times in which people knew when dew was resting on the grass in a particular way, was particularly a time to begin preparing your land. All this knowledge now is something that we need to redo and work forward towards ensuring that we produce enough for South Sudan, and later we're able to export.
And there seems to be a change of weather, like the rainy season is a little extending in South Sudan. Is this something that we can take advantage of?
Yeah, definitely. There are a number of, for instance, when we go to a crop like sorghum, there are a number of sorghum varieties that we in South Sudan could take advantage of. The South Sudanese very well know the long variety. Now they are also planting a lot of the short variety, Wad Hamed. And so this gives good opportunity. And the advantage with the South Sudanese generally, it's a population that is so much aware about agricultural practices. They are so much aware about seeds. And so it's a matter of enhancing that knowledge to ensure that productivity is improved.
And instead of just giving food to those populations that are starving or the people who really needed it, what is Food and Agricultural Organization doing in order to ensure that these people produce their own food?
Yeah, this is one important perspective that I want to bring. Just for your knowledge, the demand for cereal in this country is about 1.3 million tons. It may be interesting to learn that despite the conditions that have been going on of lack of peace, this country was able to produce about 500 to 600,000 metric tons of cereal. In terms of food aid, we were able to bring together FAO, together with our sister agency, the WFP, about 350,000 metric ton. So now compare the amount that was produced, which is 500,000 metric ton up to 600,000 tons, and the amount of food aid that we were able to bring in, which is 350,000 metric tons. And you will see still we had a gap of over 500,000 metric tons. So that shows that the production alone of South Sudanese, it's what's been driving this country. If we were in a situation where the South Sudanese did not produce anything, they produced zero, the famine would have been declared in this country. We are not in a position at all to be able to bring food up to 1.3 million tons. And so that's why, despite the situation, we are investing a lot, about 7,000 tons of seeds every year, distributing them to farmers, giving hand tools to ensure that that production goes on. This year, we are very lucky with the rains, although it has caused problems in a number of places. Mm-hmm. Yesterday in Maban, it's really problematic. People are being displaced. But at the average, we are looking at better production. We are looking at production that are likely to hit 700,000 metric tons. Mm-hmm. That will leave a gap of 600,000 metric tons. It will be a big achievement, a big step, given the environment in which we've been able to make this production.
Yes, and that's what I was coming to. With the implementation of the peace agreement continuing, possibly a formation of transitional government of national unity next month, where do you see South Sudan, when there's peace, where do you see South Sudan in terms of food security?
Now, as I said earlier, immediately this first seed is on the ground. That's the seed of peace. And I think that the Miraya radio slogan, the voice of peace, is really, really talks to the key of the issue. Immediately this seed is sown, women around the country, as we celebrate the International Women's Day,
Rural Women's Day,
mm-hmm. are ready to begin farming without any fear, because security is an important thing. We have so many of our brothers and sisters in IDPs, in POCs that are out and are going to be out there to ensure that we begin production. Mm-hmm. I am so confident that this food gap that we have of about 700,000 metric tons, the population out there, given that South Sudan is blessed with good rain, good land, then and people with the knowledge on agriculture, then we can be able to immediately move forward to feed this country. And I think that this country will be very ripe after that to exit from food aid.
All right. Just before you go, today is the International Day of the Rural Women that you have already mentioned. The day, of course, recognizes the critical role and contribution of the rural women. Now, we're asking you, like, what role do you think the women can do in eradicating poverty, and particularly what is Food and Agricultural Organization involvement with rural women in empowering them?
No, I think the contribution of women is a very emotional topic for a number of people, given that we all raised very, very well with our own mothers.
Indeed.
Personally, my dad died when I was 12 years, and my mother raised five of us in a very hardworking way. And so I think the contribution of women, not only to families, but to countries, to humanity, is critical. And I think the theme of this International Women's Day on balanced, making sure that we have a balanced society, gender balance, raises the bar for us to look back into the opportunities that we are giving for women, particularly the rural women, mm-hmm. so that their potential is fully realized. The way things are is that we cannot eat potential. And one of the things that, as you mentioned, as we look at the revitalized peace process, is that this peace is going to ensure that the potential of the rural women, even in the farm, is ensured. Mm-hmm. As FAO, we are working on a number of activities to increase the productivity of rural women, to reduce the drudgery that women have to undergo, for instance, just to dig, through introduction of small things, solar-generated irrigation system. Mm-hmm. If you compare that with most of the women just being on the tidal pump to pump the water using their feet, mm-hmm. that will release a lot of that potential, so that kids who have to assist can go to school. And so there are these small steps that can be taken that will unlock that potential and increase that productivity in the farm. And I think that the rural women will play a critical role, particularly in South Sudan, in ensuring that that food production gap mm-hmm. is closed. And as you know, the women are very, very concerned about food. When food is not there, it creates a lot of problems for the rural women.
Indeed. Finally, your final remarks. What is your message on this particular day, which the day is tomorrow? We're talking about today of the World Food Day.
I think the World Food Day, and if we combine it with the Sustainable Development Goal, the world has agreed that the only acceptable number of any person who should go hungry is zero. So we have the zero challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we had the Millennium Development Goal, in which it had said that half, it was with the aim to half the number of people that were hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Logically looking at it, why should either you hungry. Or me remain hungry? And so currently in South Sudan, we are having 6.35 million people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a big number. It is a big number when the only acceptable number is zero.
Indeed.
And so we are coming together with the government, with the private sector, and Miraa Radio is also playing its part as a voice of peace here,
mm-hmm.
to see how can we all rally together to ensure that this number goes to zero. And just as a final shot, because some have asked me that, Meshack, 6.35 is a big number. How can you make it to zero?
Indeed.
You know, Kipchoge in Kenya, he just broke the record.
There's
people
no
are
limit.
Saying, yeah, no one can run.
Mm-hmm. 159.40.
Mm-hmm. And so that's the same thing I'm saying. In South Sudan, if we all come together, I believe we will bring this number down in an astonishing speed. I mm-hmm. think as South Sudanese, we need to get together.
All right.
And it will be in an astonishing speed.
All right. Are there some events that will take place tomorrow? Some kind of an event?
Yeah, we're going to have an event in Yambio.
Okay.
In which we have the Minister of Agriculture is going to be there. The Minister of Livestock is going to be there. The Governor of Yambio. And I think the choice of Yambio, taking it to the rural areas. This year, we have decided to move away from Juba,
mm-hmm.
and take the celebration back to the very people who are farming. And so we are looking forward to be in Yambio, and we're going to have small exhibitions there. And so we are very hopeful that on marking this day, as South Sudanese, we're going to reflect back and see how do we reduce this number, mm-hmm. 6.35, in a drastic way.
To zero.
Yeah.
The people of Yambio are listening to us right now as we speak. What message do you have for them?
No, for the people of Yambio, I say this is a great day, that the celebration is going to be marked in your own area, in your own region. And so we call upon them to show up in huge numbers, and so that we can listen to various people say how do they think we can not only we can act to move towards zero. And I'm calling upon them to also share with us various ways in which they think we can increase production and productivity in Yambio.
Misak, thank you so much for coming to Miraa Breakfast Show. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.